Pasta Vazul, baby.
Come on in.
Well, hello, screamers. Welcome to the Scream Until You Like It podcast. I hope you're still screaming. Hope you're starting to like it. I am Bathtub Clint Attack. And of course, I hope to talk about that in a little bit. With me, as always, is Swamp Mikey, a.k.a. Evil Mike. And joined with us today are two very special guests. We have the Gross Brothers. How are you guys doing today?
Good. We're good.
So, of course, we have Tom Gross, wave your hand, and Tim Gross. And of course, you guys are actually the organizers and I guess originators of Gross Fest, which takes place in the Pittsburgh area.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's something actually we've been hearing a little bit about, and we're going to make an attempt to get there this year ourselves. Cool. Because there's several people that you've got that are going there, some of whom we've talked to recently that are going to make an appearance there.
Cool.
Recently, we talked to Kelsey Livingood, a.k.a. Yep. Mischief the Clown. We spoke to Jen Nangle recently, which is kind of how we got on to you guys. I'm kind of new to the indie scene myself. I've been kind of exposed to it over like the last 2 years or so. So I don't know a ton about it, but I'm getting a crash course in it. Well, we're hoping to score a few more interviews maybe leading up to Gross Fest, and maybe we'll get to talk to a few folks and have them on the show after the fact, because I think we have similar goals to get like more exposure to the local like independent horror scene, and not always local, because
yeah, I was going to say, it's not just local. Yeah, it's all right. Over the place.
Yeah, because you're going to have, you know, Sean Donahue and Sushi Zivette there. You know, they did Swamp Woman.
Yep, they're out of Florida.
Yeah, just one of Mike's favorites. I made him watch that movie.
I think it might be Donahue's best film to date. If you're going to talk about Donahue, I think it's best to date. Just breaking it down, I felt like it was paying homage to Wes Craven's Swamp Thing.
Big time
sense.
Yeah that was kind of the impression we got, and I think every time Mike's having a bad day, he just puts on the shower scene.
I know what you're talking about.
So it seems like you guys are no strangers to getting involved in indie horror films yourselves.
I was gonna say, he's a little bit newer than I am. I've been doing it for, I think the first movie I can say I made it into was The Resurrection Game from Mike and Amy. Mike Watt and Amy Lynn Best, best known as Happy Cloud Pictures. And they started filming at 97.
Oh, wow.
I did something with them, and while they were still filming at 99, I believe it was. And then that same year, which is unproduced, but I've heard one of our vendors who have been a guest in the past, the Silvios, David and Diana Silvio, who are awesome. They're most famous for Meat for Satan's Icebox, which is through Troma.
That's great.
They had an unproduced movie called I, the Killer, that kind of played kind of a mob person. And quick story is, we beat up an actor for real and weren't trying to. But they kept telling us, and, you know, just egging us on to, yeah, you got to hit him harder. And I was like, okay. And the poor guy got up and was bruising as the shot was done.
Wow.
It was literally the second thing I ever did, so I didn't know any better. And
yeah.
That hopefully for Gross Fest, the Silvios might actually have this unproduced film that I was in literally 25 years ago.
Wow, that would be cool. Yeah,
that'd be really cool.
Yeah, so just quickly throwing that out there too.
Yeah. Are you guys lifelong residents of the Pittsburgh area?
Yes. Okay. And really trying not to use the Yinzer accent the whole time.
Pop. We went downtown to the Steelers game, snapping bangles like a gum band.
I gotcha. You know, I should have introduced you that way. I should have said, I got Yinzers here with me. You know,
literally, I co-directed a film called Jagoff Massacre. So, yeah, they just, I'm trying not to let the Yinzer out.
That's okay.
We have a couple of friends from Pittsburgh.
Awesome. Yeah.
I've been to Steel City a few times, and and we just, for the first time, what was it, in September, we went to the Riverside Drive-In.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very cool place.
That's a pretty nice drive-in.
Yeah, there's a couple drive-ins around the area that really not just have great movies, but they do like independent horror movie marathons.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm on the other end of the state. I'm in South Central Pennsylvania. So
yeah,
most of the ones we have over here are like really old, rundown drive-ins, if they're even open, and so they don't invest a ton of money into keeping their facilities up. And I was pretty impressed when I went to Riverside and I saw how well kept it was.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say the ones that have survived have had some good owners the past decade or two, where they actually put money and invested trying to keep them alive.
Yeah. Like, oh hell. The only movie I can even remember that we saw when we were out there was that
the William Shatner movie.
Lousy William Shatner movie, Impulse.
Impulse.
It's like they couldn't play Kingdom of the Spiders. They had to play us Impulse. Yeah.
The original 2000 Maniacs.
Yeah, they played that out
was,
there.
That was really good.
Yeah. So Grizzly on the big screen.
Day one, what was that called?
William Girdler, yeah, Grizzly. That would have been wonderful to see that. And Day of the Animals would have been an awesome double feature.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed seeing Humanoids from the Deep on the big screen. That was really cool.
I was going to say, I was out in Shelbyville, Indiana a couple years back and got to see, it was an all water, all night marathon. And Humanoids from the Deep Uncut was because it came up with a different title and everything else. It was really cool.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I did kind of want to touch on a couple of the projects that you guys are working on currently. I see both your names attached to Bathtub Shark Attack.
Yes.
Which is, of course, a Madeline Deering film. Yeah. And if I understand correctly, that's shot on video, which is
correct.
Pretty interesting. You don't see that a ton. I mean, you see it a little bit for all the vintage lovers out there. I know I contributed to that campaign, but I can't remember exactly what I did for it. So if that movie's out, I haven't seen it yet. So that means I didn't give them enough money.
it's out there, but it's I'm not sure it's an official release yet. But it's getting out there. Let's put it that way. And I know Maddie has something in the works or something.
Yeah, I don't think she sent out the movies yet.
Okay.
To the backers, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just finally getting out there, and I know she has sent it to several film festivals.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I saw somebody else that I talked to a little while ago was also attached to that project, but that's not a shock because he's part of a lot of these things. Matt Skinner.
Yeah,
from Canada.
Just getting to know this, Matt. Matt's just finally started direct messaging me now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
yeah, well, he's all on board. He'd love to come down to Grossfest if he can get himself out of Canada long enough to do it. Tom, you play a bartender in this, don't you?
yeah. I also played a bartender in Maddie's first movie, Spirit Animal.
Uh-huh.
So it's now become the running joke that I am always the bartender.
You're typecast now.
Yes, I am.
You just played the bartender in a short film.
Can't get away from it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Now are you like a method actor? Are you really going all in and you're like learning how to mix drinks and things like that? Or
no, fortunately I didn't have to mix any drinks. So
Okay. Just stand there and wipe the bar down.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. And I did also see Natasha Knighty's Boudoir of Blood too. Is that an anthology film or something?
Okay. It was an anthology, and Madeline did the segment called Trash Removal on there.
Okay. So it sounds like you work with her a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. We've both became friends with her. I think she tells the story that she met us at the very first Gross Fest.
Okay.
And we instantly became friends with her, and over the years, just keep working with her, and you know, so she, for whatever reason, she sees something in both of us. So
that's good.
A bartender and Tom for some reason.
That's right. You said first year of Gross Fest. How many years you guys been doing Gross Fest now? Since I'm kind of new to it.
We started in 2018.
Okay.
But this is because of COVID kind of screwed us up for a couple years. So this is actually will be our fourth event.
Because we would do little things during COVID. We were trying to do some things, and we were in a bar parking lot, did a couple outdoor shows, but it was never the big show that we were originally trying to do. And just finally, even this year, this was our goal to try to do 2 days and see if it would work, and we wanted it expanded to 2 days. We always knew we wanted to get there. It was just a matter of getting there. Just COVID stopped us from getting to it quicker than, you know, we wanted to.
Right. So this is an ongoing project where you're hoping to make it bigger, get more participants.
Yes. The goal has always been from the beginning, because it was a joke. A dying convention in Pittsburgh at the time. It was dying. I knew it was going to be done. We were there that weekend. And of course, he's at my table, and him and a bunch of friends just like, oh, yeah, you should start one. Of course, I have no clue what I'm doing and everything I do in my life. And he goes, oh, yeah, we're going to do one. It's called Gross Fest. We're going to do this.
And then I started a Facebook page as a joke. And everybody's like, are you really going to do this? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why not?
And literally very shortly after that convention was done for the weekend, and he did the Gross Fest page, and I was getting phone calls 11:30 at night just from friends from around, because I've met so many people over the years doing my writing and reviewing movies and being in indie films, and just friends like, oh, is this going to happen? You're doing an independent horror movie convention? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, we're going to do it. And I called him. And I was like, you know, I have no freaking clue what I'm about to do. Right? He literally said, he goes, if you really want to do this, he goes, I'll help finance it. I just need a plan. And I know you know everybody. And I was like, okay. And we both went headfirst into it, came up with a plan for it to sustain itself. Not really going into it like a lot of conventions, they want to make money and expand. We wanted to expand, but also too, the whole point of it was not only to sustain him to make his money back,
that's important.
Yes, but not to gouge people for
affordable.
Yeah, affordable, not just for regular vendors, crafters, authors, filmmakers, actors, just like what conventions used to be before it became a one giant photo op. And I just feel like all the indie people got pushed out of a lot of the bigger conventions and everything like that, maybe unfairly. It's just too expensive between hotel rooms, everything like that. And that's how we started. And him and I just kept going back and forth, bouncing ideas off each other. We talked to other people, and eventually this is what it's become, is Grossfest, and it's growing on it, organically on its own. And right now, this year, with it being 2 days, like I said, this is the end goal. But not only that, which really cool, we literally have somebody from Florida, somebody coming in from California. It's like we wanted this to reach out there. That, and just the very first year of getting guests, which is not supposed to happen, I literally sent out messages or made phone calls, and we had 7 or 8 guests within 60 minutes that okayed and literally was just going to show up for a table. Yeah. Just because people were already understanding, we're not in this for the money. We're in this to have fun, make it affordable for not only person that would buy a ticket to get in, but filmmakers that want to take a chance on us, authors that want to be there, people that want to just, instead of doing Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, show up to the convention and meet people face to face. It's just, and it keeps getting bigger, and it's really cool. And it's something, literally it was a joke that he started, but also it was another thing that I've done the whole time since I've been doing this, doing anything with horror movies. It's either always been a joke or on a dare in my life. And this was no different. And it's funny because it's just like, have no clue. And we still don't have any clue what we're doing, but it's working.
Yeah. Well, the name is perfect. I mean, it's almost like double meaning, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I like that a lot. In fact, I didn't know when I first heard of it that it actually was your actual last name. So
yes. Oh yeah.
I was like, Grossfest, that's a great name. And then I realized, oh, all right. Tom and Tim Gross. All right.
Yeah. As somebody once said to me long ago, why not use your last name?
Yeah.
It just makes no sense. In a place, or I should say in a industry where everybody's using fake names or whatnot, right. Like, why just be yourself? And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked to Jen Nangle a few weeks back, and she had mentioned to us, and that was kind of my first time hearing about it, that she was going to try to go to Grossfest. And I got a little bit more information out of her. And she's like, if I go to Grossfest, you guys come see me? I was like, where's it at? She's like, Pittsburgh. She's like, Pittsburgh. And I'm like, oh, that's just down the road. Absolutely. You know? And then she was really super excited. Like within like a week of or two of talking to us, she got an invite from you guys. And she was really super excited about that. So
I agreed to be a handler if she didn't have anybody.
Yeah. 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 Walk her around, be a protection. Take photos for people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So we're definitely looking forward to it. You know, we're going to try and go live, and like I said, like you mentioned, the conventions. Now I've been going to Monster Mania since 2005.
Yeah,
and like you said, the convention scene has changed so.
Oh yeah,
it's horrible now. It's, you know, like if you haven't been on my page, like I still share like all the guests and because I know a lot of people like going and stuff, but. Like he'll tell you, he just went to Monster Mania last weekend. It's cut to a point where you first, not only are you paying out the nose for hotel, the guest for, but I mean, when I used to go, my first Monster Mania, I remember a lot of the Michael Myers were there. Tom Morga, Dick Warlock, there was a bunch of them. I paid like $20 a piece, and now you're lucky if you you get anybody for like under $80, $100.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like he'll tell you, you walk, you can't even move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
you're standing in line most of the weekend just to meet this person or that person. And I don't begrudge anybody trying, like any of the actors or them trying to make the money. It's a popular thing right now. They're all doing it, whether it's a comic book show, whether it's a horror movie convention, they're all doing it. It just always, I mean, I've been a vendor for way too many years at way too many conventions. And from that point of view, yes, it is way too much money for tables and hotels ourselves, but also too going and buying a ticket. And if you're staying the weekend, getting that hotel room and then The best way I have summed this up, Wizard World a few years back came through Pittsburgh and they had an X-Files reunion. It was $50 to get in. And if you wanted an autograph, I think from David Duchovny and
Gillian Anderson,
Mitch Pileggi, also known as Horace Pinker for anybody that knows Shocker, but he's
okay.
A.D. Skinner. Yeah. It was, if you wanted a picture and autograph, it was $500 a piece.
Wow.
What? And it was like, why do I want to stand in line, let alone 8 hours, but spend $1,000 on something it's going to be very, very, you know, where in the past, Mikey, explaining like you're spending money on these autographs. A lot of the autographs I got is just randomly going up to some of these celebrities before shows and talking to them as normal people. And you'd be surprised where you get, and getting some of the autographs. But yeah, the autographs just exploded. Like, and then now all the conventions are leaning into these photo ops and everything else to make as much money as humanly possible. And we both were discussing that because he'd been to a few before Grossfest and seeing it. He's like, what happened to the times of, you talked about it, being fun? You got to hang out with guests.
Yeah.
You just got to meet different people you never met before. And all of a sudden, by the end of the weekend, you and your friends.
Yeah.
It's like, when did those, you know, where did that go? And it's kind of like we rolled that into Grossfest. We want it to be just everybody is welcome. Everybody is into it. And, it's just one of those things. But yeah, a lot of times too, a lot of the people that are at a Grossfest in the past or now, I have met at some point during my travels. But yeah, it just, the prices are crazy. There has to be a line at some point. They have to.
Agreed.
There's still a couple of smaller shows, I guess, that are a little nicer to the indie community. There's one near me around the Gettysburg area.
I'll be out there at mid-April promoting.
Oh, awesome. Well, then I'll probably see you there.
Yeah, Maddie and I are going to have a table together there.
Yeah, that's like 20 minutes for me.
You can move around there. You could actually go and enjoy the vendors. You can.
Yeah, I was going to say the last time I was out there was probably Horrifying 09, I think it was.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, I went out there a couple times around that time. Mm-hmm. I missed an opportunity to meet Roddy Piper. That sucked.
But I got to meet him at one of the Steel City cons. And I got to meet his son just for the mere reason I took Hell Comes to Frogtown to get signed.
That's great.
Nice.
Yes. Like, I literally got pulled out of line and everything once he found this out.
Wow.
That's great. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Why can't I remember his name? I'm doing it again. I met at a New Jersey horror convention one of Roddy's good friends.
His name.
Richard Tyson. Jesus Christ.
Richard Tyson. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So I was wearing my They Live shirt, and then suddenly we're talking about Roddy Piper. He's telling me stories about how they were working on films together and they were reading lines and all that stuff. And I was like, that was really cool that just based on something silly like this, you know, we had this really great conversation about like a really dear friend of his. So I didn't know what else to say about it, you know. that's really great. Thanks for sharing that with me. But and he remembered me the next day and walked up and said hello to me. And he was a really cool dude.
And what movie did we see at the one of the creature features we went to?
We saw Victim No More over there.
Yes, that was it.
Yeah, that was the Friday the 13th fan film that Bobby Heckman did.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys because he, I would say right around Thanksgiving last year, he sent me a screener of that. I never got to see it. And actually, I know Bob Heckman, if you see him next time, ask him about Rampster Films.
Films?
Yes, something he used to do back when he was, I believe, up in New York. And he had a partner and everything. Yeah, used to be friends and did a couple of conventions, like same conventions with them in earlier of the 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah. It was at that show that I met Chris Saber.
For the first time.
And they were also showing the documentary that was done about his long
career.
Yeah,
it's excellent. I've told several people I was never a huge Chris Saber fan, but there were certain films he made I really enjoyed. And I thought that documentary about an indie filmmaker, how just the troubles and it just captured it beautiful. And
yeah,
I think it's a really good thing for a lot of people, not just in independent, just filmmaking in general. You should watch that. It's a learning experience.
Yeah. It's funny. I can tell I must not be a real Chris Saber fan, because whenever I talk to a real one, you know, they tell me what their favorite movies are. And I'm like, really, that one, you know?
Honestly, one of my favorites is actually more recent one. I think he did it in 2016 called The Weirdsies.
Okay. I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, it's a parody of Stand By Me.
Okay. I'm in.
It's let's just say if you're into the vulgarness of low budget pictures and Chris Saber, this really, yeah, he was pushing the envelope on this one.
Oh yeah.
Because I was never a fan of the teen ape movies, but I was definitely a fan when he would go off and do like the single, like Sex Squatch and Ski Wolf and some of these other ones, and Weirdsies fits right in there. Yeah. So yeah.
Oh, what the hell? Well, yeah, I could handle that. I mean, I watched Stoinky Beach, so I
There you go. There you go. Yes, it just, believe me, it's not a dead body they're looking for this time in the Weirdsies.
No, I'm sure it's not. Yeah, maybe it's a picture of John Stamos. I don't know.
It does show up.
Fantastic. I don't know if you guys do it at your festival or not, but do you have like a film festival, or you plan on introducing one in the future? Or?
We do movies, and we usually announce it like shortly before it happens. We do a GrossFest Lifetime Achievement Award that we do. It's literally VHS tape in a gallon-sized Crown Royal bottle that Tom makes. Tom knows what to do. He's the capable one of fixing things with his hands.
Okay.
But it's an award that we came up with. We tried like the first 2 years doing a short film and a feature. And it just, the biggest issue is it's very time consuming while running a convention, trying to not just watch movies, but like decide on them. And then when we came back from COVID doing a bigger GrossFest, we decided we need to keep the Lifetime Achievement Award. But we still have, we show movies the whole weekend also. Yeah. And a lot of times what we do is we show, try to have a lot of the movies, either the guests that are in the room there or even a couple of the vendors, we will show one of their movies. And I like to have a surprise movie that no one would even think would be playing. I already have one in mind that.
Could be a couple.
Well, I got one that no one like, and it's already got me back in contact with an indie filmmaker that literally retired from indie filmmaking.
Oh, so great. Years
ago, and I told him, I was like, hey, you okay if I play this? And he's like, I can't even believe
that somebody has it.
Yes. And I was like, this is the point. And I've just going back and forth and to keep relationships. I said to him, I was like, would you entertain coming to my festival in 2025 as a guest, if, you know, we can make it possible? And he's now living in North Carolina. He used to live in Wisconsin. And this all came from a comment I found on YouTube of him doing country music now. And he made several indie films that I love. He made what's called the Incest Death Squad series.
Okay.
So it's just something like that. And then like our staple that I open up and Tom agreed to this because he loved it too. We open the Grossfest film room every year we play Hexercise from Matt Cannon.
Okay. Because
I think it's a silent short film. And I think it's one of the best things I've ever watched in my life. And it reminds me, there's another short film out there that Troma owns now called, I think it's Cannibal Girl and Incest Boy, I think it was called. And that was also a silent film. And it reminded me of that. And what's great about Hexercise and what Matt Cannon did, he told a story and never one line of dialogue through, I think it's like 23 minutes. And I love it. I think it's great. It's a throwback to the five aerobics killer movies of the 80s. And
okay.
It's just, and now Matt Cannon, he composes a lot of music for a lot of indie filmmakers. And mm-hmm. I believe he's just recently did the music for the Spider Baby remake that's coming out.
Oh, oh wow.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. And again, this is stuff, just meeting people, stuff we do. And yeah, we play all sorts of movies. We even played a Christmas movie, I think, the one year during Grossfest. There's stuff like that we played from all the filmmakers. We try to have one for everybody. But you mentioned it earlier. We're going to play Sean Donahue's Swamp Woman.
Yeah. I'm there. Yeah. I think I saw a picture of your Lifetime Achievement Award. Maybe cropped into a photo with Steve Brzezinski.
Yes, yes, yes. He's another staple of Grossfest also.
Okay. Yeah, I think the thing of his I've seen most recently was probably Shingles.
It's another anthology. But I do, if you're not aware, Carousel 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Those movies are wonderful. And also Amityville Christmas Vacation.
I have to get around to that one. I haven't gotten there yet. it's actually a lot of fun to get to know some of these folks and see some of their movies. And it's like there's a lot of talent out there. Now, I can't say that I've really seen much in the way of like completely silent movies yet. I might have to check out a couple of those you're talking about. I'm really excited you're going to have Rebecca Reinhardt there.
So are we. Yes.
Yeah. I probably talked to her over a year ago on my last podcast. We had her on for an interview. I got to see The Embalmers for the first time. I was like, oh, that movie's great.
That was how that got kind of started, of trying to bring her in for Grossfest. I got a hold of a copy of Embalmers when they were all being sent out for through her campaign she was doing for it. And we just messaged back and forth because in my review, I gave her kind of a good review, but I was pointing out some things. And then she was shedding some light on behind the scenes things. And we just kept messaging back and forth. And it was kind of like how this got started, of us eventually bringing her in for Grossfest. And also too, she's seen I reviewed Sharks of the Corn, and she was like, why?
Well, not for nothing. The opening scene is hilarious.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But yeah, it's stuff like that is how you develop relationships in the indie scene, too. It's just simple messages.
Yep. Yep. No, she's awesome. So you can't like talk about her without talking about Julianne Prescott. Mm-hmm. And she's doing a couple of movies right now, like what is it? Cheerleader Massacre Camp or something. I can't remember what.
Yeah,
Cheerleader Elimination Camp.
Yes, because there's quite a few Cheerleader Massacre Cheerleader Camp movies out there.
Yeah. But they were in that Backwoods Bubba movie together, and that's why I paired the two of them together.
That's Tom's favorite movie.
Is it? You like that one?
Not my favorite, but
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah. Have you seen The Legend of Crickfoot yet?
No, I've had several people tell me that I need to see this.
Yeah. We went to the premiere, our friend Bone Johnson. Movie is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Good.
Yeah.
I've had a few people ask me if I've seen that yet, and I'm like, not yet. Not yet.
For a first time film for that guy, he did a really great job.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah,
I mean, and it was laugh out loud funny. It was,
yeah.
Well, I was going to say, the first thing it was asked to me when I first heard the title, I had a couple of people message me and they're like, did you have anything to do with this? Because we already hear your voice talking about the cricket now. It's like, nope. And it didn't take place in Pittsburgh as far as I know. So, yes. But yeah, I want to see that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, one of our friends from Pittsburgh talks about Menangi. So that's what I would expect. If I ever heard that, I'd be like, "Oh my god, it's Pittsburgh!" You know?
Yes, exactly. That's what I've...
So, do you guys have like your own production company or something? Okay. Not yet.
No, I'm
haven't made any jokes about it yet.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say part of it's not a company per se. Again, just because. Literally making Jagoff Massacre in 2013, we called it Drunken Yinzers Productions.
Okay.
And from there, we tried to make Jagoff Massacre 2 and literally failed in unreleased movie. And then we went and remade Blood Freak, the 70s killer turkey movie. And that has slowly over the years has gotten people are finding it. And we just finished up on Tales from the Gross Side that was based on several short stories I written over a 4-year period. And we're hoping to have that edited and released at some point in the future. But yes, a production company, I don't know. We just call ourselves Gross Fest. So it just,
I gotcha.
Why not?
All right. I was wondering if you could tell me anything about Famous, the Tom Gross story. Oh. Did this start as a joke?
Yes, it did.
I don't even know where to start with
that. I was going to say, I'm looking at this.
A friend of ours just, I don't know, he just started taking pictures of me. Actually, let's go to back to the beginning. I went to a convention that he always said, you need to come to, you need to come to. And I finally decided to go last minute and I didn't tell him.
Yes, it was a surprise.
So I showed up, I walked in there and I could hear his mouth because that's how I always find him at conventions. I can hear him. And he sees me. He's like, oh my God, it's the famous actor, Tom Gross. And everybody just like stopped and looked. And I was like, so that kind of got the ball rolling. So our friend started taking pictures of me. He'd be across the room. I'd look up and there he is with that camera. I'd turn around. He'd be this close to me with the camera. And he's like, I'm going to make a film called Famous, the Tom Gross story. I'm like, really?
Let's not forget. Drew Marvick helped this along too.
Yes, I forgot. Drew Marvick also helped get that along.
Famous filmmaker of Pool Party Massacre and does cameos for several movies. He, the one convention, Drew and I got in a conversation. That was how we got Drew to come to Gross Fest. He showed up as soon as he walked into the room. Drew Marvick literally went up to him. My brother never met Drew. In the first couple of seconds, Drew goes, so you're the famous actor, Tom Gross.
So, that's great. It's become the big joke now.
That's all right. Sometimes that's how things start. You create a big hype and people start asking questions and suddenly you've got a story that's rolling.
Yes, and it's still rolling. I've seen the trailer.
The footage I've seen, it's ridiculous. It's going to be hilarious. He went around and interviewed everybody and anybody for this.
And he still wants to interview Tom's mother.
Oh, wow.
Which you want to hear somebody go into Yinzer without even trying. You'll make your ears bleed if you're not into the accent.
That is incredible. That is awesome. And I did see something else here that I was drawn in by the name. What is Drain Snake Masker?
Literally, and again, as he's being typecasted as a bartender, literally two movies right in a row, I played a plumber. I played a plumber in Bathtub Shark Attack, and that was actually a joke, and Maddie and I just worked with it and somehow, like, spoiler alert, become the hero of the movie, and just kept, like, literally for Bathtub Shark Attack, it was maybe a page of script that turned into 10 pages of script. And at the same time, Kay Crawford and Dan Kamarick, who's doing famous actor Tom Gross story, they pitched me the idea of Drain Snake Massacre. And basically, of the premise is a killer maintenance man of an apartment building, being me. And next thing I know, I am killing people in their apartment building, and that is Drain Snake Massacre. Have filmed a lot of stuff, have gotten scenes of me killing people. And I don't know if it's still up on YouTube or not, but there is a trailer, because it is the one movie I've been completely serious in. I literally show up as for a fake trailer as Yinzer Drain Snake Massacre. I'm the Yinzer plumber. Yeah. So yeah, just having fun with it. But yeah,
I'm also in it, and I'm not a bartender.
Yes.
Wow. Oh my God. I know. How'd that happen?
I don't know. A mistake.
He's fishing.
The building. Okay.
Yes.
I was going to say.
That's Drain Snake Massacre. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, I'm totally going to look that up. If that trailer's still there, I'm going to find it.
It should be. Yeah, believe me. It's still there. There's
a lot. So, not that I meant to go way out in the weeds like that, but.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
But, so you mentioned GrossFest being affordable.
Yes.
What's it look like for the average person to who wants to show up and get in the door? Are we talking like 10, 15 bucks or?
It's $10 for one day, 15 if you want both.
Okay.
That's... And that covers the movies, yeah. That covers, you know, doing whatever you want to do there. It's up to you. We have a tattoo artist in Angel O'Connor who's going to be there doing tattoos. You know, small ones don't take more than a half hour, 60 minutes at the most. Long as you have bought a ticket, whatever the price is on the tattoos, that's between yins too.
We're okay. Just,
you know, whatever the filmmakers or the vendors, whatever they're charging, that's up to them. We're not having any control of that. That's what we're asking for a ticket price. And like I said, movies, all that stuff. We try to have giveaways during it also. We'll even stop so everybody, you know, stop the whole convention just so everybody can see who gets the Lifetime Achievement Award for the GrossFest that year. You know, try to make it fun the whole time.
Whoever wins the Lifetime Achievement Award, they should probably get a Crown Royal tattoo before they leave. That sounds like something that ought to be included.
Past winners so far have been Steve Rudinsky, who is a great filmmaker, great talent, like you said about Shingles earlier. Has had a great career. I've literally known Steve probably in his early teens, and he's in his mid-30s now. Another one was Jim Roberts, who's made Welcome to Deer Creek, but most recently I thought was one of the best indie films I've ever watched, called When My Mind Walks Away. Great movie. And another one is actually legends of, I consider them legends in the Pittsburgh area. David and Diana Silvio, they're Kiss of Death Productions, I mentioned earlier. They did a movie called Meat for Satan's Icebox, Eye to Killer. But also what's great about them too, they can tell you Pittsburgh film stories all day long. Like David was a stand-in on movies like Innocent Blood and Two Evil Eyes and some other movies that were filmed here in the late 80s and early 90s. And Diana, his wife, has done a lot of stuff. And it's also to help recognize some of these independent filmmakers that maybe don't get recognition anywhere else. Point out their careers and what they have done, whether it's so far or, you know, just give that more exposure to them and point out them to people, because we already, you know, we have our award winner picked out for this year's GrossFest, and we do not tell anybody, literally, in the past, I wouldn't tell him until like that day. Just waiting until that day to even tell him. But yeah, we already have the winner picked out for this year. But
never know. He might be bartending and blurted out, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
But we don't hit on it. But again, it is just to try to give that person or persons more exposure, get people to recognize their movies. Just even like you said, just for Yin's guys to go look them up on IMDb or go look up their movies, see what they have done that you may never even heard of. Now, they won the Gross Fest Award. Now I'm going to go check them out.
Yeah. And that's part of the fun about doing these interviews for me and Mike is that it causes us to do that. We take a deep dive into the person we're getting ready to talk to, and then we watch a bunch of movies that maybe we wouldn't have seen before, you know, and we start feeling like we're part of this bigger thing now.
We made a lot of friends, and we're happy to share, you know, give another platform to share. Like I've been sharing the Gross Fest post when you post.
Thank you.
And of course you're free to post whatever you want on the screen page, anything you want to promote.
Thank you so much. Cause I know people, I know people could be weird about that in social networking. And I am to the point I can realize I'm older now. And I try to explain to some of the younger filmmakers who just use social networking for their movies. I'm like, the one thing you're going to get with Gross Fest is you're going to meet people face to face. And that's the best networking you can ever do.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And that's great. Cause that's what was fun about going to the premiere we did of Crickfoot. And we're actually going to one on April 5th. Our friend Amanda Megan has a movie and a key coming out.
Mm-hmm. That's,
you know, and you really get to mix and then not always see them. Then we'll go out after and you mingle with them and you get to hear stories and see everybody's involved in. And
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
Chances are Jim Crudle will stop by, get people on the podcast and let them talk about it. And
I love the movie premiere experiences, the indie movies. I seen The Barn for the first time in a drive-in before it was even out on DVD, and everybody outside of Pittsburgh got to see that movie from Justin Seaman and Zane. And literally they were in the concession stands promoting the movie, and it was part of an indie movie marathon. And as soon as the movie was over, I knew they were there and I ran in there, never met those two guys before, and just, you know, started dropping F-bombs and screaming at them about being one of the best Halloween horror movies I ever watched. And yeah, just fun stuff.
That's awesome. It's awesome.
That's great.
Well, we didn't coordinate this ahead of time, and I apologize for that. But one of the things that we always like to do when we have a guest on the show is to give you a chance to draw attention to any promotional things that you'd like to draw attention to. So if you've got any websites or social media things that you'd like people to be aware of in order to know what you have going on, or just to get information on Gross Fest, I would invite you to do that now.
You can find us on Facebook, obviously. We have a page there. We're also on Instagram, and we do have a website, grossfest.com, where you can find all the information about the upcoming Gross Fest.
Yeah, and then if I also share it on my review site, grossmoviereviews.com. You ever want to go there and read some reviews about indie films especially, or see how many entries into the Amityville series I am in, which I am at now. I've watched 57 of them, by the way. Yes, I've watched 57 Amityville movies. And yes, I'm keeping track of the Massacre movies. I'm over about 210 now. There's about 8 or 9 left because I just found, what was it? Hair Metal Shotgun Zombie Massacre or whatever it was. I got a hold of that and watched that. But yeah, stuff like that I review all the time on that site. So grossmoviereviews.com, but also grossfest.com. So.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, somebody else that I know calls himself Septim Sin.
Yes.
Recently made an Amityville movie, Amityville Webcam, I think.
Yes, I was wondering.
Is it on your list?
It's on my. Okay. It's on my list, and everybody says, why don't you write a book? And I'm like, because by the time the book is released, 10 more Amityville movies have come out.
Exactly.
And it's like, I literally, I think it was 2 years ago, I wrote a list of the Amityville movies, 40. And I even talked about the future ones that were coming out. And I said, at some point, I'm going to do part two of this. And okay. I've thought about sitting down and writing another article about the Amityville movies. And I literally go through how I find them, how I've watched them, because you can't, not all of them are on physical media.
Yeah, right.
It's hilarious. It's, and why they're being made. It just,
it's, some of them are fun. Some of them are not fun. So, I mean,
you're allowed to say they're hot garbage. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, like some of them, like Jen Nangle, our friend Jen was in Amityville Karen.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. But then there was like what our one we mention all the time, Amityville Thanksgiving.
Oh, as I like to say, you haven't seen an Amityville movie until you've seen Amityville Mount Misery.
Mount Misery Road.
It's on Tubi, I think. Yeah, I, without going in description, I'll let you two guys go find that and.
All right.
Contact me after you watch that, because everybody always asks me, what is the worst one out of all of them? And I will always go back to that one. I say, go read my review of that. Because there's another one called Amityville Vanishing Point that literally wasn't completely finished. And Amazon, the story behind it, Amazon pulled it off its site at one point because it wasn't a finished film. But it's still out there. And what's funny is the filmmaker of Vanishing Point even contacted me and said, thank you for saying this isn't the worst Amityville movie of all time. Even though I know it is. And I said to them, I said, did you watch Amityville Mount Misery Road?
Oh, no.
That's so funny.
There's also an Amityville, was it? Sasquatch Bigfoot coming out or something?
Amityville Bigfoot. It was just, we were talking about it earlier. I said, I'm trying to track that down now that I know there is a release of it out there. Before there wasn't, but now it is supposedly finished and out there in the atmosphere. So I need to watch it.
I hope so. We love our Bigfoot movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I enjoy them too. I enjoy them too.
We have a friend that's in our group. We call him Canadian Boy Ryan. He's on a similar mission. He has started the Amityville franchise over, and he is doing reviews of them.
Yes.
It's actually on our page, our YouTube channel, as the Amityville Retrospective. So he's about six movies in right now.
My 12 will regret every decision of this, because I've done it with the Witchcraft series, which I think was all 19 of them.
Okay.
Like, you name the series, I've done it with this. And speaking of Bigfoot, if you like Bigfoot, the movie I got coming out from Drunken Yinzers, hopefully sometime this year, Tales from the Gross Side, the movie, there is a Bigfoot segment that we have in there, and it's called Sorority Sasquatch.
That's awesome.
I love it. Well, I'm definitely going to have to check out your review page, and I'm also going to direct our Canadian friend to go check that out.
Oh, he's,
at least if he's serious about this endeavor, he needs to be a part of that.
Oh, believe me, if you want direct brain damage, because I think in a 6 week period, I watched the first 37, and then. Wow. And then,
oh my god,
I went from there, because I even wanted to watch the Ryan Reynolds remake, which I just hate, and I rewatched that just because.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that one soon.
my daughter lives 10 minutes from the actual Amityville house. I went by it just a few months ago.
Yeah,
it's very different. I mean, I live in Brooklyn, but my daughter lives in Long Island, but yeah, it's just amazing what that
started.
It just keeps growing. And we told our friend too, it's like, but even if you made an attempt to get through all of them, by the time you get to the last one, there's going to be another 50.
Oh, yeah. Believe me.
They're just not going to stop.
I keep a note card by my computer writing down And every once in a while, I go research it to make sure these are being finished or they're legit releases.
Yeah.
There's ones that I'm still waiting for, like Amityville Leprechaun.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
If it ever comes out, I'm in.
Yes, exactly. But there's like, I think it's on YouTube, Amityville Quilt Store. And it was. There's a VHS release of Amityville Outhouse, and that's the only way you could get it.
I've heard of that one. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I didn't saw it, but
VHS only.
Yeah. Holy and shit. I came by it by just a friend that collects VHS tapes and knew I was watching Amityville movies any chance I get. And that was how I got a hold of it.
Wow.
That's great. That's great. Oh. So impressive. Yeah. Yeah. Our friend said that that's the true Amityville curse, the fact that the movies never fucking stop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because there's a movie, I believe it's getting a streaming release in the summer. Last time I read on it, it's called The Last Amityville Movie Ever Made. And literally the whole premise of it is why is there so many Amityville movies and why won't they end? That's the premise of the movie.
That's so funny. it's taken on this unbelievably huge life.
We need to make an Amityville Scream Until You Like It movie.
There you go.
What is it? Fangoria Chainsaw Awards last year made a category just because of it.
Oh my.
Wow.
That was how Steve Rudinsky won the first Amityville Award for his Amityville Christmas vacation.
Okay.
Because it's exactly what you think. He was a huge fan of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and he made it an Amityville story.
That's so great. Oh, that is wonderful. Well, guys, I appreciate it so much. Thank you for taking time out of your busy days to come over here and talk to us and shoot the shit a little bit. Sure. Glad we could crack a few jokes. We hope to see you at Gross Fest. Anybody
looking forward
about
to
it,
seeing you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
And you don't have
out.
To bartend. I'm going to buy you a drink.
All right.
That's right. That's right. And I just like to say on behalf of myself, on behalf of Mike, on behalf of Tom and Tim and bartenders and jagoffs everywhere. Yes. Remember.
Smile, you son of a.